everybody loves a night out, whether it's seeing your favorite band in person or maybe being there in the crowd to cheer on your favorite team. Well, with the Vivid Seats Rewards loyalty program, you can go to the concert or show of your choice and earn credit towards your next live event. Vivid Seats is the top source for tickets for all the live events you want to go to. You can sort by price or look for seats in the section and row of your choice, all in the Vivid Seats app. To make things even better, Vivid Seats now has a loyalty program that allows fans to earn credit back. All you need to do is use the Vivid Seats app to purchase tickets and start earning today. Go to the App Store or Google Play and download the Vivid Seats app. Fans are automatically enrolled in the Vivid Seats Rewards loyalty program. Every purchase is backed by a 100% buyer guarantee. From the biggest concerts and games to the hottest theater shows and more, Vivid Seats has it all. Download the app and join the Vivid Seats Rewards loyalty program today. Make a memory that lasts a lifetime and let the Vivid Seats app help you get to your favorite live event. Enter promo code ESPN25 for 10% off your next order.
And then 14 has mono and will be out for this game.
Your coach telling the world you have mono like that. Adam Gase, by the way, he puts on a master's course for podium perfunctory. Isn't that right, panel? Proceed.
Absolutely.
Only the Jets.
It's kissing to see.
He's been quarantined. He's lost 5 pounds in like 3 days. We'll get to that in a second. We'll start with tonight's game, Thursday Night Football, Buccaneers-Panthers. Two quarterbacks with all eyes on them. Jameis Winston started his make-or-break year last week with 2 pick-sixes. Cam Newton says the arm is fine after offseason surgery. Barely threw the ball downfield last week. Here, for a point, anyone know how many balls he threw 20 yards past the line of scrimmage last week?
Uno.
Zero.
One is right. I heard it from Sedano. I heard it from Isola in Espanol. Gutierrez, you had it wrong. You'll take a mute right here and one of these as well. Start with Cam, Frank Isola. You're the Panthers. What do you need to see from Newton tonight?
Well, I think at some point you'd like to see him throw the ball down the field. But let's remember, he's 9 months removed from surgery. But also the way the NFL is played now, teams tend to throw short. You do have Christian McCaffrey. He caught 10 passes. That's their number one weapon. You know, he had over 200 total yards last week. To me, it's a confidence issue probably more than anything right now for Cam Newton.
Israel Gutierrez, do you need to see Cam throw the ball down the field?
I mean, I don't need to see it. I do think that Cam needs to see it and needs to be successful. It's as Frank said, it's a confidence issue here. He hasn't thrown a ball more than 30 yards in the air since 2017 completed one.
Wow.
So it's not just
That's
a short
true.
Period of time here. This is a guy who, yeah, you want him to lean on Christian McCaffrey more often, but is that why you have Cam Newton to just throw the short passes and not run? Because he didn't run last week and not throw the deep ball? No. If you're going to get the best out of him, you want something that can, you know, throw the ball downfield. And eventually, you're going to have to see it. What they did last week, you know, it seemed to be enough. It was against a tough Rams team, and they got within 3 points. But you're definitely going to have to see him open up the field.
Sarah Spain, same question to you. Does Israel need to see Cam Newton throw the ball downfield?
Listen, this is very clearly a problem, and I don't think it's just confidence. I think it's physical. As Izzy said, hasn't thrown that 30-plus pass completion since 2017, but also over the course of his 7-start losing streak, he's thrown 0 touchdowns and 5 interceptions on passes that travel 15 yards or more.
Ooh.
He is not efficient when he tries to go deep now, and right now they may be able to find a balance of short passes, a couple runs, and a great run game, but eventually defenses aren't going to have to play him honest if they don't believe he can make those throws. So no, we don't have to see it right now in order for them to pick up some W's, but eventually we're going to have to know that he can do it, or else it's going to be a detriment to their play calling. It's going to be much easier for defenses to prepare.
Sarah, what was that stat over his last 7 starts and losses?
7-start losing streak. Mm-hmm. He's at 0 touchdowns and 5 interceptions on passes that travel 15 yards.
Woo! See, that's why you're the stat Khaleesi. Unbelievable. And George Sedano.
Yeah, I think you need to see it simply because his offensive coordinator is Norv Turner. He runs the Air Corps Yell system. This is a system that challenges safeties to make decisions by challenging the deep zone of the field. This is stuff that you need to do in that offense, even though Norv has certainly changed a little bit with the spread offense that is more in vogue, certainly in today's NFL. But Cam Newton needs to do it not only for himself, but needs to do it because that's what the offense is predicated on.
He has to do it for himself, for the offense, and for Israel Gutierrez. Although, with the advent of Christian McCaffrey in that offense, maybe not as much as it used to be. Same question
And you can start us off here, Sedano, on Jameis Winston. Last week was dreadful. An assault on the eyes. What do you need to see, and what do you think Bruce Arians of the Buccaneers need to see from Winston tonight?
Yeah, you need to see that Jameis can win some games and actually make real good decisions. It's been something that certainly has been challenging to him. Even going back to his last year in college, he threw a lot of interceptions then. We've heard a lot about Jameis Winston needing a running game and needing a defense. Well, his defense played well under Todd Bowles, new defensive coordinator last week. He gave up a ton of points there with those pick sixes. And the running game, they got over 100 yards on the ground, over 5 yards a clip. So there were no excuses for Jameis Winston yesterday. He's now 4-12 since he tried to eat the W or whatever it was he was trying to do that one day.
Yeah, okay.
4-12 reality.
So you said there are no excuses last week. The timetable here, Sarah, can you start there? Is Winston running out of excuses?
Yeah, because what we need to see from him is him to be a quarterback that he's never been before. This is who he is. Since he entered the league, he has more multi-interception games than anybody else in the league. Not only did he have two pick sixes, he had a third interception, should have had a fourth, and he fumbled twice.
All right, all right. Now it sounds like we're piling on here. Okay.
Woo. No, why wouldn't we pile on? It's inefficiency at its height, and until we see otherwise, there is no reason for them to keep sending him out there other than the fact that their two backups are guys that they don't really want to see either. So Arians is sort of stuck with
them. Tell us how you really feel, Sarah. All right, pick a game tonight so I have some faces to mute tomorrow or some points to give. Panthers, Bucks, Israel?
I got the Panthers.
Frank? George Sedano?
Panthers.
Sarah Spain, clean sweep?
Panthers.
All right, we move on. News of the day. From the New York Jets, Sam Darnold, number 14, mononucleosis, out this week, likely more. So there's that. And then buried even more in that news. Oh, by the way, Jets telling us Le'Veon Bell, MRI on his shoulder. Frank, this is your account. How should Jets fans feel right now?
I think when Adam Gase said number 14 has mono, I think he meant you usually get it when you're 14, not when you're wearing number 14 for the New York Jets. And if you look at that schedule coming up, to me, this is going to basically ruin his second season because he's not going to come back for multiple weeks. Their next couple of games, they got the Patriots twice, the Eagles, the Cowboys. They're completely done, the Jets. And then Le'Veon Bell on top of it. There's an expression in New York about the Jets. Same old Jets, this all applies.
George Zana?
Yeah, they could be 0-6 here. Their first six games are brutal, and the end of the season is not easy at all either. Sam Darnold was supposed to be the next savior for New York, the savior for Adam Gase, for him to continue to prove to people that him working with Peyton Manning wasn't a fluke, because he's really gotten jobs because of that. And he likes to talk a big game, but at the end of the day, he's going to find himself in another difficult situation in New York.
So you would say this is a lost season for Darnold as well, not knowing how long he'll be out, but just the fact that he's missing week two and presumably more?
Yeah, there's no chance they're making the playoffs at this point.
Really. Sarah Spain?
I don't know if it's a lost season. He can still develop, especially if he does manage to come back for week five. If it goes on longer than that, which it could, that could be a much bigger deal. Remember when Adam Gase accidentally sort of said, we're going to be playing meaningful games in October, September, November, right? And we were all kind of making fun of him for that. Like, they're not going to be, because not only is it Bell and Darnold, but there's enough players that I had to write him down. Quinnen Williams out of practice, C.J. Mosley out of practice, Quincy Enunwa on IR, and then Bell and Darnold add to that. This is a team that not only has the two biggest superstars out, but a bevy of injuries. And like Frank said, the schedule that they have coming up means that it is likely to be a completely lost cause before they even get started.
All right, panel, I need a ruling right here. Do we allow the cheat sheet from Sarah Spain? Because they had so many names, she needed to look down at it. I don't know, a tough one.
You know what? I feel like that's okay as a notes reader.
Go ahead, Gutierrez.
I think the way Gase read this or the way Gase said this was a lot like to what Sarah was saying because of all the injuries. He's basically saying 14 has mono. Are you kidding me? Like, this couldn't have started off any worse for him. Last week with the comeback loss, I guess, to the Bills, and you've got Le'Veon Bell's injury, and now your quarterback. And, you know, to George's point, I do think it's something of a lost season, because if he's already lost 5 pounds, like you said, Reali, by the time he recovers from this, who knows how much actual recovery time it's going to take before he looks and feels like himself again. I think Adam Gase is just, you know, feeling really unwell.
Anyone think he's all right with this headline because it hides the fact that Le'Veon Bell's having an MRI? Where did that come from? That was buried in the back of one story. It was buried at the podium as well. Oh, man, who knew? Trevor Siemian playing meaningful games in September. Yeah. We move on. Ben Roethlisberger, roll tape.
We all need to, starting with myself, play better. And it's nothing drastic on anybody's plate. It's just little things here, little things there. It's not like all of a sudden we have to go back to the drawing board and start, you know, doing this, just, you know, scratching everything, crossing everything out. Where do we go from here?
George, how do you hear that from Roethlisberger?
I hear someone who's trying to talk himself and maybe his team into, hey, everything's going to be okay. And that's the right tone to take, Reality. Here's the thing. Their defense let them down, too, as much as their offense let them down last week against New England. You're talking about a defense that was top 10 against the run, the most sacks in the league, the second most quarterback hurries, and you saw none of that. And here's the thing, though. The good thing for Roethlisberger is at home, he's a different quarterback. 84 touchdowns and 29 interceptions since 2014. On the road in that span, only 50 touchdowns and 40 interceptions.
So, Sarah Spain, are you with Ben here that they don't have to scrap everything and go back to the drawing board?
I'm with him, and that's the only thing he can say publicly, right? That's what he has to get the rest of his guys on board with. And that's what you have to say, especially after you face a team like the Patriots in week one. You have to hope it gets easier to play better going forward. But, I mean, he did say it starts with him, and that's true. 4 of 15 on passes that are 10 yards or more, and 18.2 QBR. Some of that is his receivers letting him down, of course. But Big Ben needs to be invested, and he needs to be the guy who starts it, because this is a whole mess of teammates that are reacting to the loss of two of their best players and need the leadership of him to agree with him or believe him, I guess, that they don't have that much.
Israel,
to fix.
Should the Steelers think they have nothing to fix on a team that is now without Bell, now without Brown, and it is Roethlisberger, Smith-Schuster, Connor, and a few other guys?
They already had things to fix, and they already had issues. And what Ben mentioned, you know, little things here or there. Well, you know what makes up for a lot of little things is great players. And they've lost two of them over the last 2 years. And so now, yeah, can James Conner play? Of course. But the depth there is a problem. And is he as good as Le'Veon Bell? No. Juju Smith-Schuster is a legit number one. But behind him, do they have any real talent at wide receiver? So I think Ben Roethlisberger is being a little bit delusional.
Frank Isola, I go to you for delusional. Please.
But they didn't have Le'Veon Bell last year. I look at week one, you think of some of the bad results. You know, the Giants were terrible. The Browns were terrible. Jacksonville wasn't very good, and neither were the Steelers. But to me, the Steelers are the one team I have a little bit more confidence in. The coach has a lot to do with that. The quarterback, and let's not forget, they were on the road playing New England. Okay. And you knew that New England was going to play a great game. So Pittsburgh, I'm kind of with Ben Roethlisberger on this one. Plus, everyone in their division, with the exception of Baltimore, which played a terrible team to begin with, all lost. Cincinnati lost Cleveland. So I'm not worried about Pittsburgh. I'm in Ben's corner on this.
Last word, Izzy. You're in that Steeler gold. Go ahead. Yellow gold, whatever.
Well, I think of the last half dozen years or so, the Steelers have been underachievers, right? So we take away talent. We're expecting them to do better now, to overachieve. I think if the pattern remains, they will struggle still.
All right. That's it for the first word. Sarah Spain, track meet out in front. Remember, she ran the heptathlon at college, so track meet is in her favor. Buy or sell on the other side.
Around the Horn is brought to you by Infinity. Empower the drive. Around the Horn, brought to you by Chase. Coming to you from the Seaport District at Pier 17.
All right, Sarah Spain, your account, Mitch L. Trubisky.
Can you walk us through just kind of everything you're evaluating and you're deciding whether to give it or keep it for a throw?
No, I was told not to talk about the last game.
Mm-hmm. Sarah Spain? Buy or sell that?
I'm selling it, and I'm hearing from my sources that it was a misunderstanding probably with PR. Not that he literally couldn't talk about the game, but maybe not the details of the play calling and when he does things on RPOs. And also that Matt Nagy has said before he has trouble moving on from negative performances. So maybe some combination of all of that, you know, move on, kid. Onward and upward combined to make him literally not answer games and say he's not allowed to talk about it. I don't think he's actually not
allowed. Israel Gutierrez, how did you hear
that previous week?
I think I'd be okay with it. You got a team with super high expectations, have a crazy disappointing game against the Packers, just leave it all behind you. Whether it's true or not, Sarah, I do believe that it's totally fine with him just nixing it. Don't want to talk about it. Never happened.
Let us not forget, and we know that Sarah knows this, their last two home games, 15 points in the playoff game, and then 3 points last week. So they haven't even hit 20 points yet in two games combined. And they're facing their former defensive coordinator, so I think everyone's confidence has been shaken. They should be thinking about Denver and not last week.
George Sedano?
Tony, I'm selling all of it. I'm selling him that you got to hold his hand off the field and on the field. You're talking about a quarterback who's not very accurate. They're making him run the ball because I don't believe they trust him to throw the ball in big circumstances and big situations. This is a big problem going into year three for the Chicago Bears.
Sarah takes umbrage with something you just said. George, please, Sarah, the floor is yours.
Well, he threw the ball 50 times, so they actually are making him throw the ball all the time, because, you know, that's...
Let stats get in the way of this mute, George Sedano. Oh, there we go. We'll move on. Serbia 94, USA 89. Hell in this unofficial fifth-place game. What was a 58-game winning streak? Now a two-game losing streak. What a calamity. Karin J. Phillips, the Shadow League... Don't be afraid to blame Greg Popovich for this. George, we spent so much time focusing on the roster that was put together, watching the games and the losses. How much do you think's on Popovich?
I think some of it is on him because, look, everyone has to take blame in this situation. But if we're going to sit here and just dismiss the roster portion of this, I mean, they didn't have shooting. They didn't have efficient scorers. I mean, Kemba Walker and Donovan Mitchell are not considered that by any stretch of the imagination, though Donovan Mitchell still has a long way to go to grow as a player. They didn't really have a big man that they could necessarily go to in any spot, both offensively or defensively. Miles Plumlee is okay. Brook Lopez is okay. They cut Bam Adebayo. I didn't understand that. So the roster construction, to me, is still by far the biggest
thing. Solo?
Well, I just love the idea that Greg Popovich walked into the locker room after the game and said, I got good news, guys. Day off tomorrow, then we play Poland for seventh place. Can you imagine how motivated they're going to be to play on Saturday? Here's the thing. To me, I'm going to blame Greg Popovich for the loss to France because he went small in that game, and Rudy Gobert absolutely dominated the U.S. He was a plus 26, 21.6 team rebounds. They didn't come up with an answer for Rudy Gobert, and some of that has to fall on the coach.
Andrew Gutierrez?
I'm not going to blame Pop for this system. I mean, it's sort of lose-lose for him. He has to win, right? But he has to sort of implement a system within a few weeks with a bunch of guys who haven't played together, and it's not even the best of the best. Our best still beats the world's best. Our middle of the pack does not beat the world's best.
There's Spain.
Cool.
I will admit that I haven't broken down a lot of tape of France and Serbia and these teams, so I can't say specifically whether he did the game plan right, but I can say that I would very much doubt that the effort wasn't there. Larry Brown told the New York Times that Popovich was waiting for this opportunity for years, even if he might not tell people how much it meant to him. He told this USA squad when he gathered them together that the loss to Greece when he was an assistant in the Olympics has stuck with him more than any loss in the NBA. That's how much he wanted to be at this stage, so I can't imagine if it came down to preparation and care that wasn't there. I think it was about the roster.
What do you think the seventh place trophy looks like for this World Cup? Whatever it is, do not show Kobe Bryant. We'll move on. Buy or sell three. What are we doing with the news from horse racing? New York Times reports that Triple Crown winning horse Justify failed a drug test month before the Kentucky Derby. It was seen, delayed, buried by regulators, and then dismissed altogether by the California Horse Racing Board by a special vote unanimously months after the Triple Crown. Bob Baffert categorically denied purposeful doping for Justify, says the trace amount of the banned subject came from the environment. Israel, what are you doing with that report?
So when the athletes can speak, they make excuses for themselves when they have PED situations. But when the athletes cannot, we have other people making excuses for them and granting them a Triple Crown in this situation. I would say, look, in 2015, there was another Triple Crown winner. That was American Pharoah. Justify just to allow this to happen, just so he can get another Triple Crown, doesn't really make any sense to me. I say you strip it.
Frank Isola?
Justify is a beautiful animal, but he should not be awarded the Triple Crown. They knew this before the race. He was tested after the race, and he still had that in his system. He should not be allowed. They should strip him of the Triple Crown.
George Sedano?
Really, this all smells like horse manure, okay? These guys all had a stake in this, financial stake, everyone involved here. And you know what? At the end, they were able to sell the breeding rights to this horse for tens of millions of dollars. This all stinks.
Precisely. And Sarah Spain.
Yeah, to me, this is less about whether you keep the Triple Crown. It's about the fact that the sport was in on it. These people decided it was more useful to them to have a Triple Crown winner and get the publicity than to do things right and accurately. It's not surprising to me in a sport that's, by my account, not truly a sport in the first place. There's a lot to investigate beyond just this horse.
George Sedano, Frank Isola, front row seats for Showdown. Spain and Gutierrez. Spain and Israel, our most global showdown. In 2 minutes. Stick around.
Yes.
There's crispy. And then there's crispy-er. Try our new and improved Tyson Crispy Chicken Strips. Crispy just got crispy-er.
One is brought to you by Domino's. Order online and track your order.
Spain and Israel, study abroad in showdown. Home runs, 6,100 and whatever. I mean, there's been three more since I started that sentence. All-time record set will be broken 250 times in the next 2 weeks. Sarah, you're going to make the argument for or against baseball being in a better place with home runs being this big a part of the game.
I have to say against. You know, chicks dig the long ball and fans love it. But on average, since 1970, every additional home run is correlated with three strikeouts and a walk. It's fewer balls in play. It's fewer pieces of action for us to watch. It's not good.
Yeah, it's just not fun. I think if you look years past and say, hey, we need more home runs, we need home runs, this is proof that that is not the answer, because you're getting more home runs and there are not more eyes on the sport. Maybe individuals with big home run numbers, but when everybody's doing it, it's not as fun.
This is not fun. Okay. You know what else is not fun?
Agreement.
Agreement and negative one for both of you. Showdown two. You get a trademark denied.
Don't know what
you get a trademark
is.
Denied. U.S. Patent and Trademark Office went Mutombo on LeBron's request for Taco Tuesday and Ohio State's request for the word the. Israel, which denial makes you happiest?
I'm going to go ahead and take the denial, because not that there are a bunch of other Ohio State universities that are now validated or whatever, but it's the word the, for crying out loud. Get over yourselves.
Yeah, I'm going to have to go with Taco Tuesday, because it was always a thing. It's like if I was like, hey, guys, I'm going to get everyone together Sunday afternoon and drink, and I'm going to call it Sunday Fun Day. Give me that trademark.
Ooh, good one.
Go with A, Ohio State University, and Israel Gutierrez. Take the points, and FaceTime is...
Thank you, Tony. You know, when you're watching sports over the years, it's funny how you let a lot of people into your lives and don't even notice it. Since 2006, Fred McLeod was the voice of the Cleveland Cavaliers, the play-by-play voice on television, and he passed away earlier this week. He and Austin Carr have been such a part of my experience watching the NBA lately, and, you know, blessings and prayers to his family for the sudden loss at the age of 67.
Mm-hmm. Israel, thanks for the thoughts there and for remembering it. Good to do it, folks, on a 23 and a half hour break. We'll see you tomorrow around the horn.